You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Ollie Pimlott, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Foss Lasson Market Racing on the domestic front, so two national hunt meetings to look forward to there. We'll also take the action from Leopardstown, a good card there on the flat, including some Guineas trials and the Ballytack Stakes. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good, good man. Plenty to look ahead to on Sunday, but before we do, Mick, let's just take a look back at some of the action from Aintree over the last few days. We'll look back at Friday's action on this edition. I can assure you we'll be having all of the Grand National fallout on Monday's Racing Podcast when we record that on Sunday morning. But with regards to Friday, Mick, the first race, and we had a bit of a shock there in terms of Party Rock, 33-1 winner of the handicap hurdle there.
Yeah, nice high-profile winner for Jenny Candlish. This horse had actually shown a liking for this place in the past, and this was his third attempt at the race. He fell when he looked as though he had a leading chance of winning it 2 years ago, finished sixth last year, and then he made it third time lucky under a positive ride from Sean Quinlan, who never had him out the van. And I thought it was a really, really good effort, you know, a competitively run race. The times were quite slow, according to the average, but they moved some of the bends and hurdles, and I think the actual race distance was longer. But I think the times all day were pretty consistently slow, suggesting that ground might be just a bit more testing than the official good to soft. And of course, they had plenty of rain, didn't they, in the build up to the meeting. So it was fresh rain on the ground. So I do think it was riding quite testing, although some of them made it look like it was like Annie Power, etc. They never came off the steel, did they? It just incredible performances. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it did look hard work for some of them yesterday.
Yeah, some of the Willie Mullins winners were particularly emphatic.
Oh, the filly, the Apple Jade, dear me. Of course, I backed her in the trial, didn't I?
Yeah.
But I didn't miss her on Thursday, that's for sure. But she was almost our Connor-like, wasn't she?
Yeah.
The way she left the field. But without Brian Cooper having to move a muscle on her.
No. I think it was the largest recorded winning distance this century. So that's 16 years, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was over half a furlong. I sort of stopped the thing and looked back, and it was over half a furlong.
Yeah, absolutely bolted up. Sticking with Friday's racing, though, a good result for Nicky Henderson in the top novices hurdle. It's a race he's won on a number of occasions now.
Absolutely.
Bouvardet, the latest of his to
shows you what a strong race the Supreme Novice was, doesn't it?
With the
1-2 both coming out of that race. I thought Bouvardet never got the credit for the run at Cheltenham, because he came from an awful long way back. Don't know whether he got hampered early on or what, but he did come from an impossible looking position. And the second Petit Mouchoir was seven lengths back in the Supreme, and got a bit closer to Bouvardet. It was a hard fought win by Bouvardet, but once again, it looks like the Supreme Novice is going to work out a treat.
It does indeed.
And the mare, Rimmon, don't dismiss her. She didn't look like she was up to taking on the boys. She was not the same stature as Annie Power.
No.
She looks like a flat mare. And I think that's where her future lies, on the flat.
Mm. Well, Willie Mullins has had a few.
Absolutely.
Sent to the flat.
Absolutely.
With success as well. So.
Yeah, she's not got the physique of a Annie Power. And it was apparent in the paddock against the boys.
Mm.
I mean, I know she battered the mares at Cheltenham, but this was a different cup of tea. These are the top novices around. These are the future stars of the hurdling game. It's no disgrace for her to finish third. She's got a future on the flat.
No, and that's by far the toughest race she's running as well. So
of course it is.
To finish placed
and,
in that
and on the back of Cheltenham, whether she had an easy race there or not, it's still to win, aren't they?
Yeah. The mountain obviously is Chase Mick. Another big success for Colin Tizard, obviously, recording this before Saturday's action. He could have had another big winner there as well. But he's doing well in the big race at the moment, isn't he, Colin Tizard?
Yeah, and again, just shows you what a quality race that the National Hunt Chase has become, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over the years. And what a ride from Richard Johnson. He made his mind up, knew his horse, stayed well, and... Well, fortunately for him, Native River didn't let him down. No. Some of the questions Dickie was asking him were, woof. But fantastic performance and great to see. They went a really good gallop on tiring ground. And again, the race was run over 52 yards further than advertised, which could account for the what appears to be a slowish time. But in the circumstances, the gallop they went on the ground, I think, was a very creditable time. And again, I think the right horses were there. And I think the form will stand up.
Yeah, great performance. Well, he just kept fending them off, didn't he? You expected him to get...
One by one. Yeah, one by one.
And Black Lion came, and I thought, well, here we go then. And he just fended them off gamely all the way to the line. So fair play to Richard Johnson and Native River in that one. God's Own won the Melling, a grade one success for him, although the story of the race would obviously be Vitor's tumble.
Just landed too steep, didn't he? And didn't get a leg out, did he? And God's Own, who did run well in the champion chase, didn't he, considering? I mean, he ran a blinder there. Mm. And with Vitor out of the way, he's taken full advantage. He was quite keen as well early on. Paddy had a job settling him early on, but it was good to see him. I mean, somebody had to pick up the pieces after Vitor had gone. And it ended up a good battle between him and Alfaroff, but God's Own, the younger horse, just proving too good and a worthy winner.
Yeah. Grade one winner as a novice as well. Finished runner up in some big races, hasn't he? Just maybe just short of that superstar.
Yes.
But a good performance nonetheless. And
but
he's a good
horse. Second grade one, isn't it? One in Punchestown. And you don't do that if you haven't got back to ability.
No, exactly. A second in an Arkle, fourth in the champion chase as well. So, the clues were there, I suppose. Eastlake, big win for him in the Topham chase. Great race over the National Fences. A gutsy performance to deny Fairy Wrath, who unfortunately for him finished second in the race for a second year in a row. And you just look at the SPs there as well. 22s, 25s, 33s and 50s. So a bit of a result for the bookies to get some back, I suppose.
Yeah, he'd run well in this race 2 years ago. Disappointed last year, Eastlake, but I don't think John Joe's also in great nick around that time then. And they seem to be coming back to something like their best, don't they? John Joe's horses. And a good, great ride from Geraghty. He's brilliant round Aintree, isn't he? Just knows the tempo, gets them jumping beautifully. And it was a really good Topham with Eastlake, Fairy Wrath, and Third Intention. All good, solid horses. And again, the time doesn't tell the whole story. It was actually the quickest of the. Of the slow times, if you know what I mean. That was the fastest run race of the day, per se. So, and they didn't hang about, did they?
No.
And they did look at a bit of jump in some of those fences,
I
thought.
Oh, yeah,
didn't they? They're on about them, soften them up a bit, but they wanted some jumping.
Yeah. And obviously we'll talk more about those big fences on Monday's edition of the podcast, which is recorded Sunday. We'll get all of the reaction to the Grand National 2016. Before we move on to Sunday's racing, Mick, we're going to change ideas completely and talk about some of the flat action.
Yeah.
You've seen a horse in France that you think might have a guinea squeak.
Well, I don't know. A filly called Midweek made a debut for Cricket Head and Khalid Abdullah in Mazel Lafitte in the week in the Imprudence Group 3. She got run out of it by a German train filly who was sent off at a ridiculously big price because she had some solid form in her native Germany. But Chamonix rode her, made the run in on her. She was just galloping along with her ears pricked, just enjoying herself, really. And Chamonix wasn't hard on her when the other filly came up sides and just outran her to the line. The trip, obviously, is no good to her 6 furlongs. She'd be better a mile. Whether she'll just know quite enough to tackle a classic at this stage... I don't know, and she's running out of time to sort of get another one in, isn't she, really? She's in the French and the Our Guineas. But keep an eye on her, whatever. You know, we might even see her at Royal Ascot or somewhere. But I did like her. Loved her way she went about her job, and she can only improve for that tenderhand, and she got on on debut, when she was quite easy to back as well. And that Imprudent Stakes often throws up a really good filly.
Yeah, it's usually a good race. 33-1 for midweek in the English 1,000 guineas, without betting on the French 1,000 guineas at the moment, and maybe just one to keep in the notebook for the future.
Definitely got a future.
Yeah,
lovely, right. Lovely big filly, lovely.
All right, and while we're on the subject of the guineas, we might see a few guineas clues at Leopardstown, and we'll have a look at one of those races there and some of the domestic stuff on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll start with the 1,000 guineas trial in Leopardstown. It's got a post time of 3:15, and it's a 7 furlong Group 3 for the three-year-olds, of course. Field of 10 here, Mick. Which of these young fillies have caught your eye?
Well, Alice Springs stands out, doesn't she? She ran in all the best fillies races with credit at 2, closed out her first season with a battling second at the Breeders' Cup behind Catch a Glimpse, with another 12 horses way behind her. And that was on good to soft turf in Keeneland that day. Don't worry about the absence of 163 days. She won on a racecourse debut as a two-year-old, so she'll be straight enough for this, and I think she's going to pick up where she left off. Won that valuable million sale in race in Newmarket, didn't she, just before she went to America, and there's plenty more to come from her. I think her biggest danger is could well be a stable companion, How High the Moon. She went on debut. She was she had some good solid form in defeat after that as well. Wears a hood for the first time, which is interesting. Be interesting to see how she fares in the market. She's only got a rating of 99 compared to Alice Springs' 112. Juliet Fair improved from a Leopardstown maiden to run with credit in Group 3 enlisted company. A bit more needed here for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen, but a filly to keep an eye on. And I think there'll be races to be won with her. And Jim Bulger pops Queen of Sicily into the mix again. She went straight into Group 3 company following her maiden win last year. A good third to Final Frontier in the Anglesey Stakes. She was well backed that day as well. She's been off 8 months since then, but as I say, she's another one who won on debut. But this really is all about Alice Springs, and I fully expect her to start her three-year-old career off as she started her two-year-old career off with a win.
Okay, Alice Springs then for Mick in the Leopardstown 1,000 guineas trial. Let's concentrate on some of the domestic action next. The 3:40 at Fosslass is where we go, and this is a Class 3 handicap over just short of 3 miles. We've got a field of 9 here, Mick, and I suppose we could start with Universal Soldier at the top of the weights. Won very easily last time.
He certainly did, didn't he? Really outstayed them, bounced back to form after a couple of disappointing pulled ups. The handicappers reacted by putting him up £9, but he did win by 20 lengths. I don't suppose he had very little option there, but it's maybe not going to be easy given so much weight away to one or two of his dangers here. One of them maybe being Cloudy Copper from the sort of re-emerging John Joe Neil. Is it fair to say that? I think they're definitely on their way back, aren't they?
I'd say so, yeah.
Winner at Cheltenham, winner at Aintree in the week, and good signs from the John Joe. I know Ophelia riding Cloudy Copper. He's got plenty of back class, this horse, you know. Did lose his way a little bit, but he's got enough, as I say, back class to make him of interest here if the money comes for him and the stable form, as we just touched on, is on the up. And he's the handicapper's given him a real chance on his hurdle race ability off 1-2-4. Watch the market for him. I'm going to take a chance though on Old Victor's Serenade. Anthony Honeyball trains Harry Cobden, taking off a useful £5. Saved his best for here, and definite signs of return to form last time for his informed stable. And as I say, that £5 claim may be worth its weight in gold around Fosslass in those likely conditions there. So Victor Serenade for me back at his happy hunting ground of Fosslass.
Victor Serenade then for Mick in the 3:40. We move on to the 4:15 at Fosslass next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over almost 2¾ miles. We've got 8 of them in the lineup here, Mick. Who'd you like in there?
Yeah, this is a good little contest, isn't it? I've got 3 on my shortlist. I'll go through them in race card order. Count Guido Dero is interesting. Nigel Twiss and Davis's horses remain in good order. Trains the young amateurs, which are quite useful for his £7, James Slavin. And he's got enough back class form over hurdles to suggest that if he came back to form here, he could be a danger to them all off of this mark. He's run poorly over fences, but back over hurdles here, I think he'd be much happier. I'm not going to go for him, but I'm certainly going to keep a very close eye on him. Popolt's Bay is an interesting runner, smashing horse, slightly raced improver, only six, goes well here. Up eight for that second at Warwick behind Flintham. That's hard to take, but it still makes him a big player in this. But I'm going to take a chance again, another John Joe Neal horse here. Suit Yourself. This looks an easier contest than the Sandown one he made his handicap debut in last time, when he was quite easy to back, and he's actually got a pound back from the handicapper for that effort, and he's shown he's got ability, this horse, when we saw him win his banger bumper and a good second at Carlisle just before Christmas. And I think that mark of 122 Noel Feely in the JP McManus colours, watch the market for him. If he's strong in the market, I'd be very confident. Suit Yourself.
Yep, suit Yourself, but keep an eye on the market then.
Yeah.
For Mick in the 4.15, and the final race we look at is the 4.30 at Market Rays, and this one is a class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over the extended 2.5 miles, and 14 of them in here, Mick, so a competitive finish for the podcast.
Should be a good each way bet in heat, shouldn't it? I think the market will probably revolve around Kieto Sol, who's gone up £6 for that handicap debut win at Exeter last month, but he was good value for further than the winning margin. Of course, when he hit the front, the race was over. He did just doss a little bit. And he's got the right man on board to make sure he doesn't doss in Dickie Johnson. Obviously, good lights going right-handed. And I think he's got a big chance of doubling up Kieto Sol. So I'm going to give him the vote. Malibu Sun's very interesting, though. Nico de Bonneville Riley for Ben Pauling. He's really well-treated on his chase mark if he's freshened up after a break. He's a stone higher over fences than he is over hurdles, Mark, and he wouldn't even be eligible for this if this were a chase. So keep an eye on Malibu Sun. He could be the each-way angle in the race. And the other one is the ultra-consistent Alberta. Jim Best got a stay of execution from his upcoming ban, and Alberta's been allowed to run and didn't run badly on his handicap debut at Wincanton the other day. They're sort of going in case the appeal goes against them, but still a big player here because the mark is unchanged from the Wincanton run. But having said all that, I'm going to stay with Kieto Sol.
Kieto Sol then for Mick in the 4.30 at Market Risen. As usual, Mick, let's just have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Okay, we're going to Leopardstown for our first one. It's in the 3.15, the Leopardstown 1000 guineas trial, and I'm looking to Alice Springs to pick up where she left off last back end for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Two races up force last, the 3.40, the first of them. Victor Serenade loves it here. Looks to have a good chance of getting another course win to his name in that 3.40. In the 4.15, a really good little handicap hurdle here. Watch out for Suit Yourself, who looks certain to improve on that promising handicap debut at Sandown last time. And in the Market Raising 4.30, 2.5 mile handicap per hurdle, Kieto Sol got the job done on his handicap debut. He's gone up £6 for that, but he's only 5, this French bred, and I think there's more to come from him.
Superb. Good work, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy on Sunday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. Ollie Pimlott, James Millman and Paddy Aspel will be the team in the studio. We've got Foslas and Market Raising domestically. We'll also bring you all of the action on a day of Guinness trials at Leopardstown as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.